Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me in the extra hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello, hello, and Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day.
Good day, good day. We're going to be talking about the Bill of Rights. We're also going to continue on desperation. How desperate are you for God? You know, before the break, we were talking about how desperate are you? And we said how it's really hard in America to find somebody that's desperate. We live in the most blessed country in the world, and the poorest American lives in more square footage than the average European. And so it's so hard to find desperation. And people will tell you, well, I'm desperate. I'm desperate. You ever heard someone say, I'm so hungry. I'm starving.
Right.
Oh, I'm so hungry. I'll eat anything right now. I can eat a horse.
Mm-hmm.
I can eat a pig. I'm starving. I'm starving.
Yeah. Well, they look like they have.
Well, then somebody brings them some broccoli. You're hungry? Right. Let me get you something real quick. You're hungry, right? Let me get you something. And put some broccoli on the table. Oh, I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, are you desperate? You told me you were desperate. You told me you were hungry.
Yeah.
I'm thirsty. It's hot out here. I'm thirsty. It's 100 degrees and you're sweating. Let me get you some water. I want a Coke. You ain't got a Coke? You didn't have a Gatorade? You don't have... I want a Coke. All you have is this water stuff? No flavor? But you said you was hungry. I need a job. Can't pay the bills. Things are getting tight. Need a job. So you help them get a job. But then they say, well, I don't want that job.
Mm-mm.
I don't want that job. It's amazing to me that, see, desperate people that are really looking for work, that's how you know someone's willing looking for work.
They'll do anything.
They will do anything.
Reminds me of that guy that came to your house that day.
Yeah.
Wanting them, just looking for work.
Yeah.
Didn't even know what it was.
Didn't care.
But I'll work for you.
Didn't care what it was.
Isn't that something? Totally forgot about that.
Begged.
Yeah. I was leaving my house. I had to make an appointment. So I'm, you know, racing out to my car. And some guy walks up to me and says, I need some work. Do you need your lawn cut? And I said, well, I mean, I do. But, you know, I was in a hurry. I had to make this appointment. I didn't have a lawnmower. I didn't know the man. You know, I was kind of caught off guard. And I really didn't have the time to really talk with him. So I said, well, you know, I do, but that's okay. You know, I was trying to let the guy know politely that I didn't need his services at that moment. You know, had I had more time, maybe I would talk to him. This man persisted. He said, sir, I'm out of work. He said, I will do anything. He said, I'll rake your grass. I'll cut your lawn, whatever you want. I'll do a really good job for you. I promise.
Right.
And man, something just went out to me. I saw that man's, desperation has a look.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw that look. I said, look, I have made an appointment. I can't do that, you know. I'll give you some money now. So I told him, I'll give you some money now. You just come back tomorrow morning and do the job. He says, I'll do it. I'll be here. I gave him the money, paid him ahead of time, and just left, you know, on my way.
Didn't really think he'd come back, really.
I wasn't sure. I didn't think about it, but I said, you know, he needed the money. He needed the money, so I just gave him the money and said, if he came back, whatever, if not, I just consider it, you know, whatever, an offering of blessing. He came back the next morning at the time I told him to, knocked on the door.
But didn't he come up to you before he even left and just saying, what time do you want me to be there because I want to work for this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So he came that morning, and I was ready to, you know, help him out. And he came, you know, ready to go. Ready to go. And he did a great job. And I said, wow, that's desperate.
Yeah.
That's desperate. But you're not desperate. you're not desperate if you're saying that you need work and you're not willing to do anything, not whether you're capable, not what, you know, do you have the education? We're not talking about qualifications. We're talking about a willingness. A willingness. You know, when, listen, if you're thirsty, if you're really, really thirsty, desperation will cause a thirsty man, a thirsty woman to drink dirty water because they're totally desperate for something to drink.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go past whatever it is that's going to, you know, would hinder you because you're desperate.
Yeah.
You're desperate. You're going to drink that dirty water and say, give me that water because I need some sort of, you know, well, we'll pray over it and hope there's no it. But I got to drink this water because I'm about to pass out. I'm dehydrated out here. I'm desperate. And so we really have to understand what desperation means. What does it really mean? Because people throw words flippantly out there and they don't know.
Yeah.
When we found out with blind Bartimaeus that he was desperate. His state of being desperate, you know, he had no hindrances. And desperate people, there's certain characteristics. They have the look, mm-hmm. the desperate look, right? They have a characteristic that they're humble. They're willing to. This man was humble. He told me he's a welder. He was a welder. He had skill. I mean, he had a skill. Mm-hmm. He didn't know how to do anything. But nothing was beneath him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it wasn't beneath Bartimaeus to be shouting, probably acting all unruly. Well, there's a whole bunch of people trying to act all right. You can imagine around Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Shh, shh. Jesus is here, blind Bartimaeus.
Yeah, chill out, dude. You're embarrassing me.
You're making a scene, bro. you're cutting up again, blind Bartimaeus.
I can't take him anywhere.
I promise I will hook you up, man. But you... And then stop Bartimaeus.
Mm-mm, he didn't care.
He said, I need a touch. Yeah. I need God. I think about the Canaanite woman.
Mm.
I think about the Canaanite woman in Matthew 15. And what was amazing about this is that here's this woman that basically was suffering. And she had great need. And so in verse 21 says, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to a region of Tyre and Sidon, and a Canaanite woman came from that vicinity, and she came to him crying out. Desperation, there's an inner cry for a person that's desperate. That's another characteristic. There's an inner cry, a cry that shouts louder than any voice can shout. That's an inner cry. But she was crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me, exclamation point. My daughter is suffering terribly from a demon possession. And Jesus did not answer, didn't answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. A lot of these disciples, they're like, mm-hmm. where's the compassion, brothers? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
You know, they were being discipled at the moment. They were in process. They weren't apostles yet. They were in process. Send her away. She keeps crying out after us. Verse 24, he answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Then the woman came and knelt before him. See, desperation, humility, lower still. She knelt down before him.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible doesn't say that she whispers. I mean, there's an exclamation point. But this is what it says that she said. Lord, help me. I don't want to hear about this lost sheep of Israel stuff. I need help. With a P. Say help. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen. A prideful person be like, look, I came to Jesus. They told me about him.
But he's just gone a little bit too far.
A dog.
Who does he think he's talking to?
I mean, come on. All right. I'm going to get up off this floor right here.
That's when you find out how bad you really want it.
That's
you
right.
Go past that moment.
She says, yes, Lord. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Mm. And you're like, oh, my God. Goodness.
Wow.
There's something about a desperate person that compels you to say, what do you need?
Mm-hmm.
What? How can I help you? Then Jesus answered the woman, "You have great faith. Your request has been granted." And her daughter was healed that very hour. We're talking about desperation, talking about being desperate for God. We're talking about being desperate for a move of the Lord, but you're not going to have a move of God unless you're desperate for God.
Mm-hmm.
She was desperate.
Mm-hmm.
Just give me a crumb.
Yeah.
Don't give me a, you know, just give me a crumb.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take a crumb. And then I think about the woman that had an issue of blood.
Mm-hmm.
It's just little things that I've just noticed. People that I've noticed in the Bible
right. That
were desperate. I mean, because I know in America it's hard to find someone that's desperate. So we'll just go biblical here.
Yeah.
We'll find some reference.
That's right.
But the woman with the issue of blood, she'd been suffering for 12 years with this issue. There's a crowd of people. Jesus is on on the move. There's crowds of people all over the place. They're pressing up against him. And she reaches out to him and touches him. And literally, Jesus feels virtue. Virtue come from out of his body. And he looks at his disciples and says, "Who touched me?"
Mm-hmm.
And one of the disciples says, "Jesus, there's people
everybody's
everywhere.
Touching you.
Everybody's touching you. What are you talking about? Who touched you?" He said, no. "Who touched me?" See, the inner cry, the desperation that was on the inside of her
mm-hmm.
touched what was on the inside of him.
That's right.
And that desperation drew out what Jesus had in him that she needed in her. She needed a touch from God. But you can imagine how this woman, I mean, she had an issue with blood. I mean, this is blood here. It's wet. It's noticeable. It probably doesn't smell good.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of people everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she didn't come in and make a scene.
Mm-hmm.
But she, you know, got up in there, unnoticed, got low. Yeah.
In Jewish culture at that point, that was a no-no. I mean, you know, you're unclean.
Yeah.
You better get away from everybody.
Yeah.
But what's powerful about that, too, is like there was such a crowd around him that they were pressing so much. But you think about it, she came up behind him. She was kneeling in that humility. And of all of that, all the crowd that was around him, she was the only one that got touched.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, who's going to stand out with that desperation amidst the crowd? And what's even the powerful about that is like, think about the doctors of all the people that she went to of all the years of her sickness, but Jesus called her daughter
mm-hmm.
because he responds to that hunger. He responded to that desperation, like you're saying.
She reaches out
and
she says, "If I could just touch the cloak, if I could just touch his garment,
mm-hmm.
if I could just willing to go past." And we talked about the definition of desperation is a state in which a loss of hope drives a person to struggle against circumstances with utter disregard for the consequences. Like you were saying earlier, Pat, she's like, "I'm not even supposed to be out in public right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to contaminate somebody."
She took a big chance.
But her desperation calls her to leap out in faith. You would say risk, but we would say faith.
Mm-hmm.
To say, "I'm going to go for it."
Yeah.
"I'm going to go for it." But that's because there wasn't a hope in the doctors.
Mm-mm.
And the thing about living in America right now is that believers and people alike have so many places to hang their hope on. They hang their hope on the doctors. They hang their hope on the medicine. They hang their hope on the job.
Mm-hmm.
They hang their hope on the home. They hang their hope on the fact that they've got credit cards. They hang the hope that there's a fitness center and they're in good health and they're eating right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many places that they hang their hope that there's no need to be desperate. There's no need to have a real revelation of really the state that you're actually in.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to wake up. I mean, Revelation talks about Revelation 3 about a spiritual condition.
Mm-hmm.
And in Revelation 3 talks about the church of Laodicea. It says, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. And he talks about the church. He says, "I know your deeds, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. But then it says, it goes on to say this in verse 17, says, you say I'm rich, I have acquired wealth, and I don't need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Mm. And I counsel you to buy gold from me refined by the fire so that you can really become rich. Mm. I mean, there's such a great deception to think that everything's all right, I'm okay, status quo, I'll have a little bit of God and a little bit of the world. Listen, look at the state we're in this country. We need to peel back our eyelids. We need to wake up. We need to see what is happening. 50-plus children have been murdered, not killed, murdered in abortions. You look at what's happening all across the land. God's being taken out of everything. Evil's being called good. Good's being called evil. Listen, we're living in desperate times. We're living in hopeless times. If you're putting your hope in anywhere else, let me tell you something. These are hopeless times without God.
That's right.
And I think about this hymn that was written by Edward Mote many years ago. And I actually thought about this morning. But the song is called My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. Mm. You may be familiar with it. But the song starts out by saying, or the hymn song says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit of my own I claim, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. I mean, this song is a classic today. It's a hymn that's been sung amongst many believers. But do we really understand the power of these words, and do we really have the revelation? Is your hope today really built on nothing less? Listen, the only thing that we have, the only thing that's real, the only thing that lasts forever and eternity is Jesus, his blood, and his righteousness. See, we have no righteousness of our own. Mm. Listen, the entrance to heaven is not going to be that we're a good person. You know, we tried harder. Jesus is love. It's going to be that, listen, we were bought by the blood of the Lamb. It's because we have his right. We don't have any righteousness of our own. It's his righteousness. Mm-hmm. It's the only thing that we have. And if you're putting your hope and your trust in anywhere else, you're going to be hopeless. Because whatever you're trusting in eventually is going to fall out.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Because it's become an idol. Because you've lifted up to the place higher than God. Let me tell you something. There's nothing like running hard after the Lord. There's nothing like chasing hard after. We talked about being in pursuit of God, intimacy with the Lord, communion with him. Are you desperate today? You know if you're desperate. There's a humility inside of you that says, I want more of God. I'm not satisfied with what I have, and I'm willing to do what I have to do. I'm willing to go where I have to go. I'm willing to listen to what I have to listen to. I'm willing. The condition of your heart is ready. Another characteristic of a desperate person, if you're desperate for God, you understand that there's an urgency, there's a criticalness, there is an understanding that there's not much time.
Yeah.
Because I'm desperate. I can't live in this present state anymore. And it's scary to be comfortable when, in fact, your true conditions of your life should cause you to say, I'm desperate. Mm-hmm. Like you would be concerned of someone who spent countless hours in the desert, who is thirsty, physically thirsty. You can see it on their body. They're drenched with sweat, and you know they haven't drunk any water, and mm-hmm. They're not even saying they're thirsty.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, this concerns me here. Because it's been 10 hours and you haven't drunk anything. And we've been sitting out here for the 100-degree weather. Mm-hmm. And you're drenched with sweat. I mean, you look dehydrated. I'm fine. In the spiritual realm, how many believers are walking around totally dehydrated in their spiritual life?
And don't even know it.
And don't even know it. walking, you know, bent over, breathing hard, drenched.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Everything's sticking on him. Everything's fine. Everything's good.
I'm good.
I'm good. No, you're not good. You're spiritually dehydrated. You're going down.
Mm-hmm.
You should be desperate for the living water. You should be desperate for the water that doesn't run dry. You should be desperate for Jesus right now. We're talking about characteristics of a desperate person. A desperate person is willing to persevere past the struggle. I think about the sinful woman who came to anoint Jesus. And Jesus is hanging out with a Pharisee at his house. They're kind of just, you know, hanging out, having dinner. And she shows up on the scene, and she comes with an alabaster jar.
Mm-hmm.
And in verse 36, it says, now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair and kissed them and poured perfume on them. See, a desperate person is not concerned about how they look. I mean, you read further on in this chapter, the Pharisee was actually judging her. Mm-hmm. If judging Jesus, if he really knew who she was, she had lived a sinful life, who was touching him. She knew what she had did wrong. She knew before God what had happened, how she failed him.
Mm-hmm.
But she heard when Jesus was there.
That's right.
And that desperation, she was tired of probably living a shameful life, being shamed, being ridiculed, being looked down at. She said, I'm willing to persevere. I'm willing to go past my circumstance. I'm willing to look past what everyone has to say about me. And I'm going to go to Jesus myself. And she got low. She started crying at his feet. She brought him an offering. She said, I'm desperate.
Mm-hmm.
And she fell broken before God. See, desperate people are broken before God. They don't have too many answers. They don't try to lecture others or lecture God. They say, God, if you don't do it, it's not going to happen. God, if you don't show up, this is not going to be good. I mean, I think about Moses, and Moses says, listen, if you don't go, I'm not going. You got to go with us.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go with us. I think about that song from Morningstar Ministries. That's everything else has to go. I gotta have God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You gotta come to the point in your life, everything's gotta go. It doesn't matter anymore. It just doesn't matter. Listen, if you only knew you had a month left to live, would it matter? Would it matter? We should live with that stamped on our forehead. We should have eternity stamped on our forehead.
Mm-hmm.
What matters is running hard after the Lord. It's having a desperate heart that says, I'm willing to go and chase after you. And another characteristic is willing to pay the personal costs. See, a desperate person understands that there's costs with this. You mm-hmm. know, I'm desperate. The water looks nasty, but hey, you know, I got to drink it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm hungry. It's not the best thing. It's not going to taste good, but I'm starving. I'm going to eat. And you think about, you hear survival stories of people that are out there that says, you ate a squirrel? You ate a what?
Yeah.
An armadillo? What did you eat?
You ate a cricket?
Yeah. You ate a bug?
Yeah.
And they'll tell you, oh, you would eat one too if you were hungry.
Mm-hmm. Get to that place.
Get to that place. You know, why do we need to get to that place and have all these things happen to us? Why don't we kind of put ourselves in that place and that need of God?
Mm-hmm.
But desperate people, hungry people that are trying to survive, they'll eat anything.
Right.
They're starving.
Yeah.
In some cases, people have ate other people. That's a whole nother story. But think about that. I mean, they've eaten animals. They've eaten stuff that they've never even would have eaten.
Mm-hmm.
But they're desperate. I think about the hiker who got trapped, and they made a movie about him. But it's a true story. He got trapped in one of these canyons.
Mm-hmm.
He was by himself. He slipped down, and he got stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many days exactly it was, but it was maybe like 48 hours. I'm not exactly sure. But his arm was pinned in this cave. He couldn't scream, no cell phone, no nothing. He was left to die.
Mm-hmm.
But there was something on the inside of him. He said, I want to live. I'm desperate. I got to live. He cut his arm off. He cut his arm off so that he can escape. And guess what? They found him. And he lived to tell the story. Mm-hmm. They made a movie about this man's life.
Wow.
But he was desperate. Listen, when you're desperate, you're going to start cutting things out of your life that needs to be cut out. That arm, as good as it was at that particular time, it was stopping him, going to kill him because he couldn't get anything to drink. I mean, he was trying to, you should hear him tell the story. He was putting things out with one arm to, you know, to gather water and drink. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he was desperate. He was desperate. Question is, are you desperate for God that way? Are you desperate for God that he's all you have? He's all you need. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit. On my own I claim, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Everything else is sinking sand. You know, another characteristic, we talked about it earlier, is that inner cry. Is that, that brokenness, that inner cry that says, man, I gotta have more. I gotta have more. Man, we're living in so much serious, you know, times right now. We need a move of God. We need God to touch our nation. We need God to touch our children. 41% of all pregnancies in New York end in abortion. You know what that number is? That means for every 10 pregnant women, 4 of them are going to have an abortion.
Mm.
4 out of 10. Mm. That's what that means, just in New York. We don't think we need God. But listen, if we need God in our country, we need God in our cities, we need God in our states, in our communities, in our families, we need God in our own personal life. We talked about one of the top three on the torch, and it starts with me. It starts with you. It starts with each of us individually saying, have I just become satisfied with God? Am I at a comfortable place with God? Or do I want more? Do I want more? And the last characteristic, and I'm sure there's more, and the last one we're going to share today with you, is that a desperate person is in tune with the reality of their need. See, a desperate person truly understands they're hungry, that if I don't eat something, if I don't eat something in the next little bit, anything, bug, you know, grass, whatever, if I don't get something inside of me, I'm going to die. A desperate person who's thirsty says, listen, if I don't drink whatever there is to drink,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to die. A desperate person says that if they're in, you know, inclement weather, that their body can't, they'll go into places that they would be terrified to go into because they realize that if I stay out here in the elements, if I stay here in the elements, I'm going to freeze to death. I've got to go in the cave. I got to go wherever there is. And they'll put themselves in places that they were terrified. They don't know if there's bats there, there's wild animals, but they got to get out of the elements because if they stay in the elements, they're going to die. They're in tune with reality. And the question is for you and for me, are we in tune with reality today? Are we in tune with where we are in God?
Mm-hmm.
I think about when God tells Adam, where are you in Genesis?
Right.
I don't think that God lost track of where mm-hmm. Adam was.
No.
But I just, for some reason, I don't think that God lost track.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that God wanted to help Adam and let Adam process. Where are you? A clue that the right answer is not here on 30th block of the garden. He wasn't looking for a physical location.
No.
Where are you, Adam? Where are you? Where are you today? Let me tell you something, that God moves in hunger. He moves in the strong passion and desire. He gives an invitation in Isaiah, all those who are thirsty, come and drink. Come drink from the fountain. Come drink from the living water. But the question is, are you thirsty? In Proverbs, he that is full loathes honey, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. See, the desperate person says, listen, I don't eat white creamy stuff, but I'm hungry, so give me some of that white creamy stuff.
Give me some of them grits.
Give me some of them grits. Give me some of that, ranch, whatever. I just...
Put some mayonnaise on it.
Put some mayonnaise on it because I'm hungry. Are you hungry today? Mm. Let me tell you, God wants to come and invade your world. He wants to turn it upside down. And he wants you to be engaged in an awesome, amazing, intimate relationship with him. He wants you to walk with him and talk with him and interact with him. Listen, we only have moments left on earth. Life is but a vapor is what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying the world is ending. I'm saying that who knows tomorrow? I think it was Leonard Ravenhill that says, tomorrow is written in a fool's calendar. Mm-hmm. All you have is today. Mm-hmm. That's all we have is today. Let me tell you something. Make your plan today. Say, God, I'm going to do whatever I have to do in my life. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to scrape all this stuff off of my plate that's made me full and just lethargic. And I'm going to cut out the entertainment. I'm going to cut out the fluff. I'm going to cut out just all the social media. Whatever it is that's stealing you away from God, that's made you just be complacent in your walk. Listen, if it's sin, get the sin out your life and say, God, I want to be desperate. Desperate people get touched from God. And people that get touched by God are never, ever, ever the same.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to BFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at bfntv.com.
Did you know there's something written on the Statue of Liberty? With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller, and Pastor Tommy Nelson shares those words and their significance.
Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to be free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. I've always been amazed that the woman who wrote that was named Emma Lazarus. And that's the man that had been dead for 4 days named Lazarus. And so here this woman, whose name is the very idea of life from the dead, greets the masses. Come to us.
A fascinating insight, and you'll hear more from Pastor Tommy Nelson today at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
Man, I know that you listen to VFN Radio
every day, like clockwork. If I do miss the morning, guy, I love to hear you guys bright and crisp in the morning. Man, it's a fresh revelation, man, to hear you guys and to hear what the news behind the news. I love Brother Greg, man. He's hilarious. You you come in right there with him. I feel in my spirit that it's everybody should have an opportunity to really listen, even if it's just once, man. And
well, that's great. Let me ask you, what would you say, what would you say to other people about VFN Radio? I mean, I know you listen to it all the time, but as far as, what's kind of the main thing that you get out of it?
Believe it or not, I get more knowledge and wisdom through listening to the BFN Radio. I can't explain it. It's something that I just don't see that anywhere. Mm-hmm. And so when you get to hear the stuff that's happening behind all the political hoopla, because to me that's what it is, you know, it starts to wake you up. Your spirit wakens up even more. These prophetic words coming to light, you know.
Exactly. And that's what we're seeing. And that's what I love about what God is doing on the face of the earth and what he's doing through VFN Radio and the opportunities that we get to share. But I'm encouraged that you're listening, that you're getting plugged in, and that you're plugging in others. Yeah. You know, because we, you know, who knows how long we have left. I mean,
absolutely.
To use this medium for the glory of God and to connect people to the Lord, and get a fresh word. We always say that.
You're right. You know, I said that today to somebody. I said, you know, we gotta live for God like he's coming tomorrow.
That's right.
Because if we're unprepared, then we're the ones that are going to be left behind. And there's no excuse. If you're serving him, then serve him all the way. Dive in head first. And just continue the journey, because it's an awesome journey. I mean, I look back and reflect on my life and what I've been through and how he saved me from death at 33. And how he's brought me all the way to where I'm at now. I'm like...
That's a beautiful journey, huh?
You know, there's just no way that I could have been... I could have done this on my own.
Well, one day we're definitely going to get your testimony for VFN Radio.
Oh, I would love to.
But thanks for coming on in, man. God bless you.
God bless you.
Welcome back. VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. We're talking about desperation. Not desperate for things or stuff, but desperate for God. Let me tell you something. If one person becomes desperate, don't wait for other people to get desperate. You get desperate. You get hungry. And you be the one. You be the match. You be the match that lights a fire that causes people to go after God like never before. Listen, we're believing for a great third great awakening. We're believing for a fire, a spiritual fire that's going to spread all across this country and around the world. What's going to happen when we look inwardly? It's going to happen when we look and say, God, what do I need to do? Do I need to get this out of my life? Repent? Get the stuff out? Hindrances? When we go after God with everything we have, when he becomes our soul obsession, watch out, because God will just take over and invade the scene. You know, we were talking about on VFN Radio, the original intent of the country. We're talking about the Bill of Rights, talking about the Constitution. And we've had a couple weeks ago, we did a series on the Constitution with Judge Napolitano. Mm-hmm. And if you missed that, you really want to see it, because really, really encouraging, filled with just great information. But you're noticing that there's a lot of people that right now are really getting educated about the Constitution, mm-hmm. the Bill of Rights. It's important to them. They're defending freedom. Everyone's pulling out their pocket Constitution. I mean, I saw someone, one of the news anchors, pull out a pocket Constitution on air. I mean, everybody's like, this is the thing now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes us to get to a point where we can lose our rights before people start discovering and dusting the rights off.
Well, it's definitely a topic that people are now being aware of, because it's on the forefront of so many discussions. People are just like, I didn't know that. So they're definitely taking their own initiative to find out so they can know.
Absolutely. Well, I want to share with you a video. I want to share with you a video of a person that's going around. He did an experiment. He's going around and telling people, average Americans, average citizens that are, you know, in public, to sign a petition to repeal the Bill of Rights, that he's saying that the president is wants to repeal the Bill of Rights. Mm. This is not what the president wants to do, but he's saying this just to see what the, you know, if the people are going to respond. What are they going to say? Repeal the Bill of Rights means to get rid of them, get rid of the Constitution.
Right.
And he's just asking the question and just seeing if people will challenge him, if they will question him.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing really to do about the president, but it's just getting them to see if are they really engaged. listen to how they respond and what they're willing to do.
A signature to support Obama repealing the Bill of Rights, taking things further than the Patriot Act in this New World Order. We don't need that old-fashioned Bill of Rights anymore.
He's talking to this guy, and the guy's signing it right there.
Bill of Rights. I appreciate it. Right, thanks, dude.
The guy signs and walks away.
My God. Did you get that? What the heck? You know, the force is strong with this one. You support Obama and repealing the Bill of Rights?
Yeah, sure.
Just a name and a signature.
The man says,
we're
yeah,
doing
sure.
everything we can to help Obama modernize the Bill of Rights in today's new world order, today's society. So we're helping to support him repealing the Bill of Rights. Birth date, please, to repeal the Bill of Rights. I don't think we really need those. And a signature to repeal the Bill of Rights as well. You just helped us repeal the Bill of Rights. Thanks, bro. Will you help us support Obama repealing the Bill of Rights? There's some new legislation. Obama wants to repeal the Bill of Rights, so we want to just show support for that and replace it with new NDAA-type Patriot Act legislation. The Bill of Rights, you've just repealed the Bill of Rights. Thank you so much.
This goes on.
Obama repeal the Bill of Rights.
This goes on.
All of them.
For over 4 minutes.
Wow.
4 minutes. And this guy's just standing there just making stuff up, obviously. Yeah. Just making stuff up and just talking out of his head. Saying things that obviously are not true, but to see how basically outrageous things that he can say. And the people, one after the other, one by one, are just signing their names, signing it. Putting their
didn't
birthday,
question it.
They didn't question it, and he's like shocked after each one of them. And this is what there was just three people. We're going to make that available for you on the torch. But let's talk about what the Bill of Rights and what these people were just willing to sign
just
off on
right,
and just flippantly
right.
sign. Let me tell you, the Bill of Rights is in the Constitution. It's the first 10 amendments in the Constitution. The very first one is the freedom of religion.
Mm-hmm.
The freedom of religion, freedom of press, that Congress shall make no law responding to an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or the abridging of the freedom of speech or the press, or the right of the people to peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Think about this. Think about it. These folks just signed off and said, yep, you can repeal, you can take away, you can scratch off this part of the Constitution.
Yeah.
And it says, I don't need my freedom of speech. It said, I don't need my freedom of religion.
Mm-mm.
And I don't need my right to, you know, gather peaceably.
Right.
Just abandon it.
Yeah.
Without even knowing it. The Second Amendment is the right to bear arms, a well-guarded, well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. You'll even hear that some people will say, well, that was just what the colonists put down there so that, you know, Great Britain, you know, wouldn't come back or any. This is for all time. This is not just like for one moment, a period of time in life. This is so that any government at any time couldn't usurp their, you know, the authority and go, you know, over the people.
Mm-hmm.
So they just signed off their rights. They just this. They just signed it off.
Mm-hmm.
This is scary.
Wow.
I mean, think about this. This is scary. That if this was a real petition,
how many people would sign it?
How many people would put their name on it, not even knowing? Listen, you got to read. You got to know what you're putting your name on. You got to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Amendment number 3, the quartering of soldiers. No soldier shall in time of peace be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in the time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. What is this amendment saying? You can't, a soldier just can't kick a door down and saying, oh, we're going to stay here in, this, in your house and you're going to feed us because I'm a soldier of whatever. Mm-hmm. This is what was happening to the colonists. I mean, this is called wisdom. You know, there's no new bag of tricks. You know, they've learned over their past experiences and the pain of injustices to say, you know what? My God-given rights are being, you know, abused right here. Mm-hmm. Amendment number 4, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects. Effects is what? Phone, whatever, your computer, your iPad, your electronical, mm-hmm. right? Your digital paper.
Mm-hmm.
And against unreasonable searches and seizures that shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon the probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and in particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. This is a very specific amendment that protects your rights to privacy. That people just can't walk in there, in your house, in your stuff, in your computers, now in your phones, the government can't, nor anyone else, and just look through your stuff.
That's right.
Now, that can be done. That can be done if there is a warrant, a search warrant. And typically those are issued by a judge, and there has to be probable cause. They can't just do it because they feel like it. There has to be probable cause that a crime is going to be committed or maybe has been committed, and they're trying to get, you know, some evidence, but it's not a blanket search warrant to search your entire house. It has to be very specific.
Right.
And in fact, we have a segment on the torch just on the Fourth Amendment. Just on the Fourth Amendment. And we'll make sure that that is related for you as well on the torch, on the highlight today, so that you can make sure that you can listen to that one. The Fifth Amendment, trial and punishment, compensation for takings. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land of naval forces or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger. Nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, property, without due process of the law. No, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. I mean, there is a lot in the Fifth Amendment.
Yeah.
But you're entitled to a trial and to be judged by your peers. And you're entitled not to incriminate yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what it means when people say, I take the Fifth.
Yeah.
I plead the Fifth. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I plead the Fifth. I take the Fifth. That means I don't have to say anything that
to incriminate myself.
Yeah. To incriminate myself, and then I don't have to say anything right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you're seeing court proceedings, maybe on TV or you've seen them in the past, what you're seeing is the Constitution on display. There's different parts of the Constitution throughout a court proceeding that you're actually seeing taking place. These are our rights. This is a beautiful system. Amendment number 6, the right to a speedy trial. Confrontation of witnesses. And this was ratified by the way, 12/15/1791.
Wow.
In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy trial and a public trial. That means they can't keep you in prison for 10 years till one day await trial to see if you're guilty or not guilty. And you have the right to be tried in public, not in a closed room door by 3 people.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get this all out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what that does is protect you from someone violating you. By impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, and to have compulsory process of obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of the counsel for his defense. If people are testifying against you, you need to know, this is right, that says, show your face if you can't testify in secret. It also affords you the opportunity to bring witnesses for your defense and for you to have counsel. I mean, counsel is a good thing. I mean, you don't want to show up for a surgery without a doctor. You know what I'm saying? You want to show up with someone who's qualified to be able to do what they have to do. And in this case, an attorney to help you because you don't know the law. You didn't go to law school and get a JD. You know what I'm saying? They study law. That's what they do. Amendment number 7. These are the ones now. These are the amendments, the Bill of Rights that these folks in this video, where this man was just being completely outrageous, just saying, you know, on purpose, just to see, you know, how they were going to respond, just to see what, you know, what they were going to do. He says that he told them, he's walking around with a clipboard, and you'll see this on the torch. He's walking around with a clipboard, and he's saying, you know, the president wants to repeal the Bill of Rights. We want to support him. We just need you to sign this here so that we can repeal, you know, the Bill of Rights. We want to get away with it, you know. And he's just going on and on and on, just saying gibberish.
Pulling stuff out.
Yeah, pulling stuff out. But the purpose of it was to see what people, you know, what were they going to do? And they're signing off and saying, okay, okay. And this one lady looked like, Bill of Rights, but she signed it anyway.
Yeah.
Well, she just signed off to get rid of all those rights that we just shared. The last, the number 7 is trial by jury in civil cases and suits of common law where the value in controversy shall not exceed $20. The right of a trial by jury shall be preserved, and in no fact tried by, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any other court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. So you have a right to have a trial. Amendment number 8. Cruel and unusual punishment. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishment inflicted. I mean, you think about these rights. This is not afforded to people all over the world. This is our United States Constitution. Right. But believe you me, there's people that are treated, let's say Evan Prison in Iran,
right,
with cruel and unusual punishment, and they're just being detained and locked up to whoever feels like letting them go. There's rights in this country. That's why it's important that people that come to this country, listen, if you come to this country, you want to be a part of this country because you want to be an American,
right,
and you want to adopt the laws that we have here. We don't want to change the laws. Amendment number 9, the construction of Constitution. And this is the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. And this is a real, Amendment number 10, powers of the state and the people. And if you listen to Constitution and Freedom, the 6-part series that we talked about, Constitution and Freedom, you learned that the government didn't create the states, but the states actually created the federal government, and the states shared their power to formalize a central government, the federal government. Well, the 10th Amendment is basically says the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the United States, and are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. It's about the states being able to make their own laws. We want to show you and let you listen to a quick video that goes through these Bill of Rights really, really quick, but in another way so that it'll help you to keep them in your mind, and we'll also make it available on the torch. Listen up.
The first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution, also known as the Bill of Rights, were ratified or passed over 200 years ago. But even though they're a bit, well, old, these first 10 amendments are still the most debated and discussed section of our Constitution today. So can you remember what they are? Let's take a look. The First Amendment is the freedom of speech, press, religion, assembly, and petition. This may be the most revered of the amendments. The First Amendment protects our rights to say and write our opinions, worship how we please, assemble together peacefully, and petition our government if we feel the need. The Second Amendment is the right to bear arms. The original intent of the Second Amendment was to protect colonists from the invading British soldiers, but it now guarantees that you have the right to own a gun to defend yourself and your property. The Third Amendment is called the Quartering Amendment. It was written in response to the British occupation and as a result of the colonists having to house, or quarter, soldiers in their homes during the American Revolution. Because of this amendment, our government can never force us to house soldiers in our home. The Fourth Amendment is the right to search and seizure. The police can't come into our home without a search warrant and take our personal property. Today, many concerns have arisen about our rights to privacy and technology. For example, can the government track your location with your smartphone, or can social media postings such as on Facebook and Twitter be used without a warrant? On to the fifth. It's all about due process. You've probably heard the phrase, "I plead the fifth," in movies or on TV. They're talking about the Fifth Amendment, which says that you don't have to take the witness stand against yourself if you may end up incriminating yourself. Okay, we're halfway done. The Sixth and Seventh Amendments are about how the legal system works. If you're accused of a crime, you have the right to a speedy public trial and an impartial jury. You also have the right to a lawyer and the right to take the stand if you choose. This is important because it will prevent the accused from sitting in prison forever and insists that the prosecution proceed with undue delay. The Seventh says that if you're charged with a crime, you have the right to a jury trial where 12 impartial peers decide your innocence or guilt in the courtroom as opposed to a judge doing it all alone. The Eighth Amendment prohibits cruel and unusual punishment. Is a death penalty cruel? Is it unusual? It's hard for Americans to agree on the definitions of cruel and unusual. The Ninth and Tenth Amendments are called the Non-Rights Amendments. They say that the rights not listed in the Bill of Rights are retained by the people in the states. You have other rights that are not listed in the Constitution, and the states have the right to make their own policies, like instituting state taxes. So, now you know all 10 amendments. Can you remember them all? If not, remember this. The Bill of Rights are a crucial piece of American history, and though society has undergone many changes these past 200 and some years, the interpretation and application of these...
Don't forget these Bill of Rights. They're so important. We're going to have this in available for you on the torch. But don't be so quick to sign off. Listen, we have a great Constitution with Bill of Rights that really affirm our rights as American citizens and as a human being.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.